This movie is better than The Love Boat.
I enjoyed it.
Nobody got their ass kicked and nothing exploded.
They're not like having sex all the damn time everywhere.
I love this movie. I'm happy that I chose this movie.
This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
Welcome to Nerd School.
Nerd, nerd, nerd.
Yeah.
Suck it, nerd!
Nerd, nerd, nerd!
Visit me, daddy ass.
Welcome to Nerd School.
My name is Loki. Welcome to the Nerd School podcast, you jerk.
Who's Charles Moulton?
That is my pseudonym.
Why don't you write Wonder Woman under your real name? Because most Americans have a low opinion of comic book writers. Or is it something else?
A person is most happy when they are submissive to a loving authority.
I want to study her.
She'll break your heart.
You'll be jealous.
I'm your wife, not your jailer.
I think you long for an unconventional life.
Maybe I just want her because you do. You think it's possible to love two people at the same time?
Why not?
What is normal?
It can never happen.
The world won't let it.
The world can't stop us.
We should probably say, welcome back, audience, to another episode of Nerd School, where it sounds like we're talking about the most random things, but actually we're here to talk about our individual movie picks.
And we should also probably say, welcome back,
everyone,
because it's not just me and Joe.
Yeah, last couple episodes, Art and I had to carry on our backs.
No, you didn't have podcast. To. You just do one-on-ones with Art because you love them. You could easily do one-on-ones
listen,
with me. Easily do one-on-ones with your brother. You just choose to do them with Art because love him in a way
Andy was too busy.
Unholy.
Andy was too snooty and busy. Yeah. And TBJ, I think you were left the country to go on your professional golf tour. So,
right.
You still could have made it happen. You did not. So this is welcome back to our normal content of movie watching.
Yep. TBJ is going to enter the WNBA draft this month.
Yes, because I know all about sports ball.
That's right.
This time we're covering Art's movie. Art, you want to tell us about your movie and why you picked it?
I picked the movie because never watched it and seemed quite interesting. After I watched it, I felt like an upgraded version of Joe. And I say this because
upgraded.
Well, I mean Barbarella and Howard the Duck.
But this is no Barbarella or Howard.
It's not. That's why I said
we
upgraded.
Had substance.
I'm upgraded.
Howard the Duck was way upgraded. Better than this.
Yeah.
No.
If Howard the Duck would have had a threesome, maybe.
No.
But according to Wikipedia, this is a 2017 American biographical drama about American psychologist William Moulton Marsden, played by the incomparable Luke Evans, who also played Dracula. And Dracula Untold, I believe.
Dracula Dead and Lying.
We went from what Dracula to a form of Dracula.
Dracula Dead and Loving
Dracula
It.
Dracula to Dracula.
Yeah, totally. Dracula Dead and Loving It. Yeah, that was totally him.
No, it was Leslie Nielsen.
But it also stars Rebecca Hall as his legal wife, Elizabeth, and Bella, I guess her name is Heathcote, as the Marston's polyamorous life partner.
You want to say the name of the movie?
Yeah, Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. I thought I did say that. I
no,
started
you didn't.
With. Well,
I don't think
Professor
you said
Marsden.
Maybe you did.
And the Wonder Woman. Yeah. I just want you to know every day, TBJ crows closer and closer to taking the power and becoming the true Sith that she is.
How do we get that out of me just reminding you to say the name of the movie? Like, it was a gentle reminder so our audience knows the name of the movie. And you're like,
it was with the way you said what I said. No, you did not.
It's because I just know you didn't. It is not about the dark side. It's just stating factual information ill intent.
Just accept it.
Help me out, you guys. Because Rebecca Hall is the only person I recognize from this movie, and she's in the MCU. She's in Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3.
Remind me who she
was. If you remember Iron Man 3, she was the one who created the Extremis thing, the thing that you could sort of...
She was Tony's like lab partner type of thing back in the day?
The one he met when and they talked, I think, at like a New Year's party when he was mostly hammered.
Yeah, and they hooked up or something.
It's implied that, at least.
Implied that.
Implied. And then Tony freaking Stark.
Right. And also, I think he funded her research and stuff like that. And
I'm glad you said research, not research.
Yeah. And then then she secretly teamed up with Killian, who is the founder of Advanced Idea Mechanics.
Right.
The guy he at that New Year's party sort of abandoned. It's like, I'll go talk to you on the roof in about 10 minutes. And then he waited on the roof for 100 years and formed a huge grudge between Tony Stark.
Yeah. Very pivotal moment in creating that villain. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And there was a big swerve where it turned out Rebecca Hall was in league with him and not. They weren't. Secretly she's working with him, and then I think she did a swerve back, to use professional wrestling parlance. I just finished watching WrestleMania.
Swerve back? That's a swerve back in wrestling?
A swerve, and then a second swerve, a re-swerve, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it when you swerve and then swerve again.
Rubber band? Maybe.
Plot twist. I'm sure there's a term for it.
Pro wrestling terms, CBJ. Excited to learn these?
No. Yep. Here's the thing. I don't know if I told you guys this. I watched a lot of pro wrestling.
Yeah, you've been to them live. Yeah. You dated Hillbilly Jim.
You dated Hillbilly Jim. I don't think that is accurate.
No, but I've been there. Just because I've also been to a lot of sports ball games. I don't know what's happening.
You just seem too classy for wrestling. No offense, guys. You guys,
I mean, I am classy as hell, but
AF.
I am diverse and well-rounded and open-minded.
So is Greg...
speaking of which, I've been working on my speed synopsis of the movie, unless you have one, Art.
Ooh,
I don't have a speed synopsis.
I was
just going to say that one of the other reasons I picked this movie was because of the aspect of like learning about the creation of Wonder Woman, and also the creation of like the lie detector machine and disc theory. So some
was
of
that your reason, not the rest.
Yeah, but it's just the way it, like, especially that one scene when he goes to MC Gaines and explains the theory of Wonder Woman and how she became to be. That quite interesting. Quite interesting. So
Professor Marcy, we should just say what this is: the movie that's supposedly based on the creator of Wonder Woman.
Possibly. There are factual details that are actual in this thing.
And there are some that are in dispute.
Yeah. Yes. But what we know that is true is there was three people who lived together who had children, whose children, there was a museum created for the two women later in life, like by one of their children. That's what we know. We know that was Wonder Woman's creation. We know he loved some kink. We know he got in trouble, went against the board. We know those things.
Right. And
there is some debate as to whether or not, I mean, it's basically depicts them in a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah.
And there is some, like the...
family members deny that.
The two women were involved with each other. They were, you know...
Close.
It's like very close.
Yeah,
sexually
they,
involved.
Some people
they
say
were
they're
very close, but
and not quite a couple, the women, and some people say they are. That's your new polyamorous term of the day. Metamours are people involved who are not sleeping together or romantically involved, but with each other, but they're involved with the same partner.
Okay.
That's a mouthful.
That's called a metamour?
A metamour.
See, I learned, you know, learned something new. It's 2024, y'all.
And there's a 20s. There's a specific moment in the film that, like, when you actually see, like, the concept of Wonder Woman, like, is the creation of Wonder Woman kind of happens. It's sort of off screen. It's just suddenly the guy, Marston, is introducing this concept. Oh yeah, we're gonna make a comic book. We're gonna go into comic books, and there's educational power here. And then there's a female superhero. But the it's sort of implied that he decided to make it a female superhero, whereas the actual in actuality, it was his wife Elizabeth's opinion to say, yeah, you should, if he was going to make comic books and do some stuff there, and it's like, yeah, make the superhero female. Oh, it was okay. Her idea to make it a woman,
but that didn't really show up in the movie, right?
Yeah,
well,
right.
Well, no.
Would buy this. No one
they called it smut. They said this is porn. This is pornography.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Hold on. I'm gonna give you my brief, my 60 second.
Let's do movie your TBJ's speed through synopsis. Movie.
I feel like ready? That should be music set name to this too.
You know, yeah. Maybe I'll put in some music in the background.
There's a dude. He's a professor at this high ranking college. That college has a women's college. His wife teaches at the women's college. His wife is very smart. She wants to be at the prestigious college with that degree, but you know, misogyny, patriarchy, etc. Anyway, he's teaching the class. There's a girl in the class. They need to hire an assistant. He's like, ooh, yes, girl. His wife's like, don't screw with my husband. And the girl cries because why is the wife so mean to me? It's not my fault I'm pretty. Anyway, fast forward, they're working in the office together. They apologize. His wife is kind of, you know, forward, but that's what it takes to be a woman with a PhD back in that time, you know? Mm-hmm. So they eventually get to know her better. The girl is eventually fired because the husband does love her. The wife gets very upset, but the girl is like, no, it's not about him. I love you. Wife can't handle it because, again, back in the day, we can't be lesbians. We can now. Hooray for us. But that didn't happen. So she's fired. But everybody's miserable. Husband, wife, miserable. Girl, miserable. By the way, girl has a fiance because that's what you do. You went to college to get your MRS degree, as they used to say.
Yeah.
So her fiance, they all get back together, not as a couple yet. And she's like working under them, but she's very eager for their approval. This is slightly problematic to me if this is the real case, because, you know professor-student dynamics. An issue for Tiffany, but I digress. Anyway, they hang out a lot. The fiance hangs out too, but he's picking up these red flags. He's like, hey, what are your intentions with my fiance? This is my woman. The other two are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, she ends up wanting to be with him. He dumps her because rumors spread on college after they have their first affair. Who knew we were seeing boobs in this movie? Thanks, Art. There's a whole scene with lovemaking and boobs. I'm not mad at it, but trigger warning.
You're welcome.
Because we can't tell our young audience to watch this movie. Fast forward, people find out there are rumors everywhere. They gotta leave. He's fired. His wife is fired. She's pissed off because she's been angling for this goddamn degree from Harvard. But whatever. The wife is pissed. She's ready to go, ready to cut this relationship off. Old girl says, no, I'm pregnant. Well, damn. Now we all gotta figure this shit out. Wife is not so keen to figure it out right away, but whatever. Fast forward, they're living together. She has a baby first. Eventually, the wife has a baby. They move away. They live in a place. They play it off like she is just a friend who is widowed and has kids and lives there. He is going through struggles trying to keep a job because, you know, that rumor follows him forever. His wife starts to be the main breadwinner because she has a job as a secretary. She's doing what she's got to do. An old girl takes care of the house. Everything seems to be going fine. Everybody's having babies. Years go by. One day, he's walking down the street, happens upon a lingerie shop. Lingerie shop's a little more kinkier than we expected. Old dude's like, come in the back. Let me show you some things. He goes in the back. He learns some things. There are whips. There's some bondage. There's some lessons. A little kinky. Not to yuck anyone's yum. Do you? He brings his wife and his girlfriend back there. They learn some things. His wife is a little pissy because the girlfriend seems a little too eager to be submissive. But you know, some people like being submissive. It's their thing. Whatever. We go through that. Then he's like, I'm going to write a comic book and we're going to talk about my.
Yeah, it takes this long for Wonder Woman to show up. Sorry. All right.
Yes, it does, because it's really not about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But it's about his Wonder Women, which is his wife and his girlfriend.
Right. Okay. Whatever. Yeah.
So after his chain and bondage class and learning all this about femininity and all that he's learned about, you know, enticing people and getting what you want, he decides to write Wonder Woman. He gets balls up. He goes to the guy who owns the thing. He's like, yeah, I got a proposition for you. Let's do this. He does it. It's hella kinky at first. There's a lot of bondage happening in Wonder Woman. They get in trouble because just like there are moms of liberty today, there are these women back then who are like, hey, you're ruining our kids with your comic books. The simple solution would have been for them not to buy their kids the comic books, but you know, whatever, I digress. So he goes before this committee. They are at this time estranged because one day while they were getting kinky, their neighbor walked into her. Boo to her, because who told you to walk in my damn house?
Yeah, you don't walk into somebody's house bringing cookies or not.
If I didn't answer, you come back later, fool. Whatever. Neighbor walks in, kids get in trouble. Wife freaks out again because she doesn't do well. She doesn't really do well with confrontation when things get hard, even though she's the hard ass of the group. Whatever.
She doesn't do well with humiliation. She doesn't do well with shame.
That's probably the best version of it. Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
So she kicks the girlfriend and those kids out. They got some visitation arrangement because, you know, they are his kids. And they go on about their lives. He goes through this committee. He's like talking about why woman is important. Turns out he gets a little sick. He passes out, goes to the hospital. Of course, she calls the girlfriend because he's going to want to see her. They're in love. They've always been in love. She comes, she sits with him the first day, and then she pieces out. He's there for a little bit. He is getting ready to go home. She is supposed to come visit. They don't think she's coming. She shows up. He wants her back. Wife wants her back. She's like, I got a new life now. And then the husband's like, get on your knees, wife. Let's beg for this. They get back together under some weird circumstances with a new stove. He lives for a little bit longer. Not that long. He dies. The two women live together for a very long time. That is confirmed. They do continue living together for a very long time until the younger one dies first. And then the older one dies later. We see this in a beautiful scene at the end as they're walking through the park with their children. The end, the movie, you think it's about Wonder Woman, and it is, but it really isn't. It's about three people, love amongst people in an untraditional way, and, you know, going against societal standards and a lot of kink. The end.
There you go.
About a thruple. Boom.
Thank you very much.
Alleged thruple.
Alleged thruple, like you said, the family members, the grandchildren
are non-monogamous.
Yeah.
Yes.
They all completely reject
it. Like, let me look at that quote I saw from like the granddaughter. William and Elizabeth Marston's granddaughter, Christy Marston, criticized the film, saying the idea that Elizabeth and Olive Byrne were lovers was purely fictional, while clarifying that she was not offended by the notion that technically could not swear that they had no such relationship. She explained that she had been a close personal confidant of her grandmother's, and she could say with 99.99% certainty that they did not.
But here's the trick. Even in the movie, they never show the women like as lovers around the children. Like, she sneaks in the bed in the wee hours of the morning when the kids are like asleep or when they're going to school. So I think it would be hard to confirm because, again, back in the day, you couldn't just be like, I love the ladies.
Yeah, and none of us can picture our grandparents banging, you know.
And so here's the thing. So when I was watching this again, I was thinking of the kids, right? So when TBJ just said, you know, the solution would be not to buy your kids the comic books, right? And this is something that still happens to this day. When most people think comic books, they automatically think kids. So it's
right.
Like, my mom one time went to a thrift store, bought me this graphic novel, right? Cause like, oh, my son loves comic book. First page, full nipple. You know what I mean? Full nipple. But it was like, you know, I'm buying this comic book that I found in the thrift store for my son, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where the parents were like, oh, this is a funny, well, my dad called him film funny. This is like a film funny or funny page type thing. I'm going to get this for my kid. Kid's going to get enjoy this and read it. Boom, that's that thing. Second thing, the fact of like the kid getting beat up. Like, I don't have any kids. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's one of those things. Like, I just imagine in those times, would your kids be like going to school, or why would the fact that like you're sleeping with a woman be a thing of topic amongst your kids in school to the point where it's like,
Well, I can tell you why, because what's happening is that neighbor went home and ran her goddamn mouth and was like, yeah. This is unholy. Her kids heard her say, this is unholy. Her parents are wrong and evil and disgusting. Right. The kids pick up on that. So they see those kids and they're like, oh, your family's disgusting.
Yeah.
And those are fighting words.
Yeah. It's the parents. It should be known. It's the parents that rub that out.
Right.
It's hearing what their parents have to say. And you can even hear it from when they're fighting on the street. Like, what is your problem? They are in their house. The Olive is like, we used to be friends, girl. And the girl is like, I can't be a part of this. You're not a part of it. What they do in their bedroom behind closed doors ain't got shit to do with you.
Yeah.
That stands to this day. Dear 2024, for those of you who still think there's a gay agenda, I need you to realize that what happens in people's private bedrooms between two consenting adults, no consenting adults, is none of your business.
Yeah.
What you should be worried about is that old man who is dating that 18-year-old.
Right.
At your church.
Right. Although there is that there's something about that moment, the moment where they get discovered.
Yes.
Yeah. Is really, it's a strong moment of just this, and it sort of underscores this, the weird thing about sexuality, in that there's like a professional wrestling aspect to it, in that if everyone is buying into the kayfabe, as they say, like the three of them together, they're all into it, they're all into that, the weird thing, like they're yeah. all done that.
Tying
the minute that is shattered by an outsider, the
yeah.
minute someone walks in while you're watching wrestling and says, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. These guys aren't really fighting, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And just like pierces the illusion of the storyline that's going on. It just shatters everything and you feel like completely stupid.
And you can feel that in this scene. Like you can,
yeah, you
read
can
it.
Feel that so hard. Yeah.
Andy, did somebody just call you out for watching wrestling? Did that happen?
No. It's
Joe,
sort of
you brought up wrestling first today.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It sounds like you were watching wrestling and somebody walked in the room and was like, what are you watching, Andy? And you're like, oh, no, I don't want to watch wrestling anymore.
But, no, I mean, but there are those people who will walk and go, you know, this is fake, right? You know,
right,
they're
yeah.
not even, duh.
But that's a good parallel to this.
Suck the joy out of it. Yeah. But that just that the how hard the shame wall just crashes down in that moment.
Yeah.
Just kind of is a huge powerful sort of weird moment. It's like there's
but
a
I
fine line between getting into kink and feeling really ashamed of yourself.
I think that Art, you said you compare this movie as a step above Joe, but I think it's better than a step above Joe. I think if we were coming at it as we were watching a movie about comics, it's not what we had bargained for.
Right.
But if we were watching a movie about good storytelling and building relationships and what can happen when you have an unconventional one, then this was a good story for that. So it is no Howard the Duck or Barbarella.
Right. It's definitely an interesting film. And there is Wonder Woman stuff peppered throughout, because the whole scene in front of the focus on the family, or the Christian, the interrogation scene or whatever, is peppered throughout the story as it goes on. And you kind of see like hints of, oh, there's an aspect of Wonder Woman that came in. Oh, here's a little bit of it.
Yeah.
So it's
those comics are interesting to read as well. The Sensation comics.
Did you read?
Did you go back?
Yeah, I read a couple issues. They're quite interesting.
So does it feel like reading those now? Does it feel kinky and kind of?
I wouldn't say it feels kinky, but if I was reading them back then, it would be like, oh, she has on a knee-high skirt. Ooh, you know, that kind of feeling.
Yeah, well, think of it in context, right? We spent a lot of years. Think about, like, let's look at flappers and what they were wearing. It was so sensationalized, but really, they weren't really, like, compared to what we would wear today, ass out. They didn't have their ass out. They came out to their knees and had fringe and shit. Think about when women wore pants, and it was like, oh, my God, that's a loose woman. She walking around here in pants.
There's look at her neckline, my pants. Word.
It's comfort. But all in the context of the time it was happening, while there are always people who have had unconventional relationships who do things differently, I think when people discover others like them. Like, notice they were not the only ones in the back room of that lingerie shop figuring shit out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it was there a thing that did. Yeah.
Well, you know, but, like in those times, there was always what they would be called deviants that had like little special
what's
clubs.
Deviant,
and
really? Speakeasies. I mean, there are a lot of deviant things in life, but that's not it. And even in those comics, yeah, there's levels of kink, but also anything written should be vetted by adults before children consume it sometimes.
I mean, not I all remember the time. Like one of the first comics we had around, Joe will remember this big ass issue, like this compilation issue of it was the Rampaging Hulk, which was like supersized, and it basically there was like a 4 issues of the Incredible Hulk run that were sort of combined together. And I remember that being a big thing because there's a sequence in it where MODOK hypnotizes Betty Banner somehow to just like walk out of her hospital room, or like she's been like she's just had a nervous breakdown because her new husband just died. And there's a line in there. It's like, I never even got to cook a meal for him. That's the time it was written.
Yeah,
but it was, but for some reason, like she's hypnotized, and like she just walks naked through a field to go into his evil laboratory, and get turned into the Harpy, which
that's
was
right. I remember, because I remember I thought that was She-Hulk at the time being a kid because she's green.
Yeah,
and it wasn't. Yeah, it was
but
the Harpy.
She was also like a bird person.
Yeah,
and that was like I guess if you, depending on, like, I can't remember who wrote it, but turning the love interest into the Harpy as, like, an actual character is kind of, I guess, sort of a misogynist kind of idea as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was
a
joke. I'm not
it.
Sure.
Think about, but, I mean, who wrote these men? Think about that god dang Sing of Princess Leia and that god dang bathing suit. We haven't gotten to Star Wars yet, but how much misogyny is there in the world that she has to be sitting there at the feet of this creature in her bathing suit, right? Like, a lot of men's fantasies come out in their writing, so it's no surprise that he would have incorporated that into his comics at the time, because it was like an outlet for it in a way that wasn't like blatantly writing to the non-existent Playboy yet, but it was their version of letting out a little bit of it in writing in ways that not everybody called it out, because, you know, Wonder Woman did great. She was raking in money. She wasn't not raking in money at the time. It's just this group of moms were like, oh no, and then, you know,
not gonna have it.
When the simple solution is, yes, moms, and let me make this clear, because someone's going to come for me and be like, listen, I am a mother. Yes, before my kids, I'm aware of what my kids are consuming. Some things I don't need to read because they are truly YA authors and they're just authors I trust. But if it's unfamiliar to me and I don't know what it is, I'm going to kind of go through it before I hand it to my kid. But there are also other alternatives. If you read Wonder Woman at that time and thought, this is kinky, hand them a different damn comic. Do not shut down the whole thing, because people are clearly reading it because it's clearly selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although there is, you know, like a level of finding things that your parents did not approve of is a huge, you know.
Yeah, that's thing fun. That's fun as a kid, but like these people were like, let's shut down the whole thing. It's like, no, that's not how you handle it. It's a matter of conversations with your kid. It's a matter of redirecting your kid, but it's selling, which means people are buying, which means people are reading it. And it's not, like Art says, it's not just kids. Like, it's not just kid content. And so we do these crazy things when the truth is many of them weren't really reading the whole thing all the way through. One or two people said, this is kinky. And everybody was like, oh my God, this is kinky. No, it was. But it went into this crazy sensationalized thing that it didn't need to be. Honestly.
Well, yeah. Well, we're such a puritanical society, you know, different times, different eras, but there's tons of 40s.
But we're not. I think that here's cartoons. The thing.
I mean, think, then we were, I think, back then.
No, we weren't. Because here's the thing. to this day, even now, the people who holler the loudest about these incidents are people who are doing shit, right?
Do you think it's just the louder, louder people are the puritanical, the people making all the noise?
No, they're not. I'm telling you, Joe, think about what's that one dude's name? God bless him. He was all over.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
No.
Ron Jeremy?
Jim Baker?
No, it was like an evangelical pastor way early in our youth, our younger
days.
Jim
Baker?
Jimmy Swagger?
He got in trouble. Like, he had his whole massive message about family and rights for family and nuclear family. And turns out he was in the bathrooms at airports trying to make hookups. This is not
I know you're talking about Jim Baker. I can't remember his name either.
No, Larry Craig was the bathroom guy. That was the government guy who was, you know.
No, there's a pastor too, but he was like from back in the day. My point is, these people yelling louder aren't actually the Puritans. They're just the ones who don't want other people to know these things or exist.
Acting like it's Puritans, the whole he who smelt it dealt it thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So many things that are, you know. Like a lot of Republicans these days, they're accuse everybody else of
a lot of
shit
politicians.
They're doing
a lot of politicians
of the shit they're doing. Yeah, well, it's all the
projection. It's like, yeah, he's doing this. Don't mind that I'm doing this. He's doing that.
Right.
It's a lot of because they're feeling guilty about what they're actually doing, probably.
Right.
What they've
There's
done.
So
what they
often
do.
That the most strident homophobes turn out to be just people that hate themselves. And
yeah.
Can't.
Yeah.
You're right.
Same
yeah,
thing about
self-hate.
The ones
yeah.
who are like passing these legislations about, you know, rights of women. You hate women. Just say you hate women. Not that you want your wife to feel safe and secure. You are possibly an abuser. But we don't know that because you frame it as, I want my wife and daughters to feel so safe in the world. Yeah. It is we as America and before, but specifically America, live under the duality of the people who are in front yelling the most. If you dug the dirt, they're doing the dirt. They just are deflecting it to somewhere else. But these fools have been doing the dirt the whole damn time. There may be, I'm willing to bet, if I could lie detector test all these people, y'all, these fools were probably having kink in their bedroom or mad that they didn't have the same goddamn kind of kink as these three homies did.
And this Wonder Woman stuff that they were calling smut was not the first. I mean, there was tons of underground comics at this time that people, like pocket comics, I guess, people passed around in the 30s and 40s that had little
drawings of naked women. I mean, think of the whole pinup culture.
And pinup culture
was okay.
Yeah, same
you
thing.
You had a pinup on your airplane, and it was fine.
Smoke.
It is when things threaten the institution of quote unquote marriage that people get really weird.
Well, that with those scenes with
it's like, oh,
what's the name of the Connie Britton? Those scenes like that kind of tell the story of her interrogating him. Reminds me a lot of the whole comics code thing that you guys talked about in art. Yeah. Kind of did an American Timelines episode about that, just that, like they had to institute this whole comics code to protect the children and all this, and that kind of just kind of illustrated that very
it
felt like, so.
Because it's never really about the children.
Yeah,
it's never really about the children.
Yeah,
you know, I could write a dissertation on people on their soapbox actually being the actual villains.
I hope the true thruple that was in this, if they were a thruple, I hope just that they were all happy and nobody was
pressured.
I hope
they were a thruple.
Yeah, and I hope nobody was pressured into anything. But like you said, that the ladies stayed together after he died. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he really wasn't in the relationship very long, if that was a three-way relationship, for the length of the relationship, because he died in
1940s
something, like a few years into it. And then they lived their whole lives together. So hopefully they were happy and, despite of everybody and everything, they lived a happy, comfortable.
I know. The only ick I had was I don't love professional student dynamics because it's a power thing.
Because that could be, there's power there for sure. And that's the only thing that
a real power dynamic.
Yeah, it feels like that could have been a pressure situation and probably often was. I mean,
but you know, who knows?
Well, none of us were there. None of us have any idea, so we don't know. But regardless.
I was not there, but now do you see why I sent to Art in the group chat the other day that we were not a polycule?
A what? You were not a what?
Polycule.
A polycule. I said that in, you, Art had to go look it up because Art said something and I said, everybody doesn't want to sleep with us. We are not a polycule of interlocking lovers, relationships.
I thought you said polycube.
And then
a polycule, a group of people who are,
it might have spelled polycube in the thing, but it's polycule.
I feel like that's people are going to listen to us and they're going to get some nerd stuff from us, but they're going to get all types of other stuff. Like, everyone's like, oh, I think we need a Roll 34 shirt, we're going to be
Rule 34
groundbreaking for people who want to learn nerd culture, but then also learn other things that they probably didn't know, or didn't know that they needed, that they didn't know.
Here, you know what though? My favorite thruple in the world are very nerdy. Like, I have a favorite thruple in the universe, and they are so nerdy. I think there's a correlation between unconventional people and unconventional relationships, hence nerds. One is a Disney nerd, hardcore, and I love it, and very cottagecore, and it's one of my favorite things.
Did you say cottagecore?
Yeah, cottagecore is cottagecore.
Thing. I didn't know that till Gruff taught me that, the Gruff and Loud, about cottagecore and Hobbit. There's hobbitcore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not aware of any of this. It's a lot of cottagecore
right now. And
are we teaching you some different nerds?
Teach me some. What does cottagecore mean? Is cottage cheese spread among each other? Or?
Not that kind of cottage. Like cottages, very
like the shot. Like they aesthetic. Want to live in the Shire and pretend they're
like a countryside. Medieval.
There's hobbitcore.
So hobbitcore is different from cottagecore.
I think so.
Is cottage just like
is very much
they
want to
live in a remote area and
have blankets
and they bake their own bread and they have very grandma hobbies and it's kind of cute.
Grandma what?
Hobbies.
Hobbies. Okay, I thought you said Hondies and I was like, what? I don't know too many terms.
What's a Hondi now?
I have no idea. That's why I asked today.
Yeah, I'm learning some stuff. So cottagecore is just okay. So
a lot of kind handcrafted of the earth. Furniture and stuff, and
but not listen, necessarily Amish stuff.
I'm right now
crunchy granola types maybe.
My not gaming really life right now crunchy is all about cottagecore. Okay, all I do is I fire up my games and I do some gardening, some crafting. I'm planting, making seeds, canning stuff,
So Minecraft is cottagecore or
Minecraft? I mean, it could be.
Or any of these like sort of just grind games where you're
Stardew Valley is cottagecore.
Civilization or something like that. Or
Disney Dreamlight Valley. If it has Valley in the title, there's a good chance it's cottagecore.
Can you consider some, if you were in Animal Crossing building your own little world,
there are plenty of cottage. Like, if you look up cottagecore Animal Crossing, you'll find plenty of people's islands with cottagecore things.
It's a vibe, Andy.
My Animal Crossing thing island is, of course, of the Sith nature, but that's only because I'm a Sith. So on my island, it's a lot of red and black. I fly the Sith flag,
I got they're space Nazis, right? No, I guess that's more than that. For
you equate them as space Nazis. If you equate them as space Nazis, what does that make you, Andy? What does that make you?
The wait is over. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR, is now live in North Carolina. And now you can legally bet on all your favorite sports anytime, anywhere, right here in North Carolina with DraftKings. For a limited time, new customers who sign up with promo code QCPN and bet $5 will receive $200 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings has the best features, including same-game parlays, player props, and more with fast and easy payouts right at your fingertips. Bruh. I'm looking right now. I'm thinking about betting on the Grizzlies and Cavaliers coming up at 7:10 p.m. I can bet the over. I can bet against the spread, the money line. You can just pick straight up who you think is going to win. I bet on NCAA women's tournament a lot. I was really into that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what you should bet. I'm not going to pretend to tell you that I know, but it's fun. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now using code QCPN and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code QCPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and used under license.
Is this what you really want?
Dr. Marston, every issue of Wonder Woman is filled with violence, torture, and sadomasochism. This abnormal behavior in your comic is reckless.
A woman must not be told how to use her freedom. She must find out for herself.
If you want to understand the mind of a woman, you can start with that.
You are brilliant, pure of heart, hilarious, ferocious.
You are my life.
Wonder Woman has a secret identity. Why is that?
She has to hide her true self from man's world.
What would happen if Wonder Woman's secret identity was revealed?
Everything would be lost.
I wonder if you were the one with the secret identity.
Andy, your thoughts? Gonna loop it back to Marsden.
Yeah. This was Professor Marsden and the Wonder Women was an interesting film, as a story, pretty compelling. I mean, I'm not taking it as complete fact, but it's great performances. You know, Rebecca Hall is always great, and it's like a lot of social commentary, a lot of like. Things you, I mean, so, what is factual is fascinating as well. Just it's an extremely unconventional story about, you know, tangentially at least, the creation of one of the major pillars of the DC universe, and it's not how you would have expected her origin to be developed, but it's also it makes a lot of sense. in how she's portrayed and how she's evolved, I think, just like knowing her roots and how she's become this sort of ambassador for, you know, peace and understanding. There's a great, I think Gail Simone wrote it. Let me dig it up. The quote about her whole philosophy.
Wonder Woman's whole philosophy?
Yeah, which is like it's a great let me see if I can dig it up here, but you guys go ahead and I'll chime back in with it.
All right, who's next with their final?
Well, let me just say that Luke Evans, who played William Marston, starred in Fast and Furious 6 with Gal Gadot, who went on to play Wonder Woman.
Okay, yeah, that's a good connection too.
There you
go. Also he was in a show called The Alienist with Daniel Brühl, who, if you know, is
Baron Zemo
from in the MCU. So, yeah,
look how we stepped out of the MCU to a movie about a DC character, but it all wraps back around to the MCU. It
all comes back to the Deborah Jo Rupaverse somehow.
All right, yeah. I found it. The quote is from like Wonder Woman number 600, which was a big celebration anniversary. Gail Simone, one of the most prominent female comic writers,
was about to start writing the X-Men book.
Yep, she just got Uncanny X-Men. But like, it's sort of a summation of, because there was a line where it's like, if you need to solve a mystery, you call Batman. If you need to stop an asteroid, you call Superman. If you need to win a war, you call Wonder Woman. Because
I love that.
Yes, she's sort of it's a diplomatic kind of thing that they have going. Her whole deal is like going into man's world, so to speak, to try to be an ambassador for peace. And one of the thing they wrote was, we have a saying, my people, don't kill if you can wound, don't wound if you can subdue, Don't subdue if you can pacify, and don't raise your hand at all until you first extended it. Like, which is kind of like the first order of business is peace, and understanding, and collaboration. And if there's an issue, pacify. Just to figure out how they can solve it. And if it becomes something more intense, you just sort of, it's like a subdue, I think, is kind of, you know, like wrestling, like you get them in an arm bar.
It's always back to wrestling.
Yeah. I just watched the night two of WrestleMania. So,
well, let's ask you this, Andy, is it better or worse than SummerSlam 89, this movie?
89?
Yeah.
I don't remember 89. I remember 88.
Okay, better or worse than The Love Boat?
This movie?
Yeah.
Or WrestleMania?
This movie. Since you love the Love Boat, that's your standard. If the movie is better than The Love Boat, yeah.
The Love Boat.
Everything has to be put up against The Love Boat to figure out whether or not it's good. If it doesn't stand the test of Love Boat, it's not good.
That's Andy's test. That's all he likes.
Is it really Andy's test or what you decided?
No. I've watched all 10 seasons of The Love Boat because it was fun, you know, just candy watching on the way to bed. Just let's do some 70s character actor lottery. Who we get? Because they, at the beginning of every episode, they say, here's who's starring in this episode. I think
this is a handshake trait.
Yeah, and it's all just, yeah. It's random, like, Todd Bridges is in this one. And,
oh, I love Todd Bridges.
Todd Bridges, Buddy Hackett, whoever else.
Yeah, those two are great.
Vic Payback, Jimmy Walker. It could be anybody that you've ever seen in anything. David Hasselhoff in it a couple times.
Yeah. Definitely a hundred-second trait.
So it's always like, just as like the, you can make the intro. Yeah. Who's going to be, oh, that's the guy from Trading Places. Oh, that's the guy from that one show. That's some guy with a really ugly hair. Yeah. There's one of the Osmonds, like the ugly Osmond or something like that. So it's just a lot of, and one time there was a monkey, and one time I think it was my favorite sentence that I can say that is true about The Love Boat is that there was an episode where Telly Savalas played Dr. Fabian Kane, who created a robot duplicate of Isaac the bartender as part of a scheme to steal a horse from a Swedish heiress played by Terry from Three's Company. That is all true. And I like that I can say that.
And so,
that is better than this movie.
This movie is better than The Love Boat.
Oh, that's saying a lot. All right, Joe, you got to give you started telling us the history of the actors, but you didn't give us your opinion.
Oh, mine's brief. I'm just going to say I wanted more. I was upset that it wasn't about Wonder Woman. I got three quarters through the movie and I was like, is this even about Wonder Woman at all? Is that Wonder Woman come into this at all? And so I was frustrated with that. But I, you know, like you said, like, good story. I hope they were happy. I think I'm glad there should be more stories told about non-traditional relationships and that, but I'll admit, being in the middle of watching tons of MCU movies all the time, I was very bored. Nobody got their ass kicked and nothing exploded. So
at some point, once we get through all these movies, we'll teach you, we'll have a whole separate podcast where we teach you how to enjoy a drama,
a real movie. Yeah No, I can still watch dramas, but well, I was glad. Yeah. I cry at everything that's real dramatic. So it was all right. I mean, that first love scene was pretty exciting.
Of course it was.
Did you enjoy the sorority spanking?
No, that was weird and uncomfortable.
It was, right?
I didn't like
it. It was really weird.
I didn't like that. I think that's
the general.
Yeah, I think that some of those things that happened made me uncomfortable, and so
that was a good lesson in like what bits of misogyny exist in a woman's only dorm. Yeah. Right, that's generally, that came from somewhere, and where did it come from? Likely who else is taking that much?
And I think me and Joe had a discussion with someone
about
sorority.
Up out of this. We talked to somebody at work.
Joe, I did that. Notice how I did that, Joe.
You didn't say their names.
I'm not saying names. Good job, Art.
And I'm not saying her name either, but I only brought it, and I felt bad immediately bringing it up. I was like, I'm not weird. Did you see the movie? It's from a movie. I'm not asking weird questions. It's from Professor Marsden, and they hadn't seen it. So,
what did you ask? Like, what happens when they're playing?
I was like, do they really make you dress up as a baby? Yeah. Wasn't that the movie that they dressed up like a baby?
Yeah, they were a baby. Yeah. It was baby night.
It was baby.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
It's a general form of hazing, humiliation as weapon, as part of a power dynamic.
I pledge a sorority. There is hazing.
Did you have to dress up like
not
a baby?
That. I do not have to dress up like a baby. But it is a mental mental game.
Did you have a
some people get physical? I did not. My pledge time was not. But it's an interesting world.
Did you win? Or yeah, like pledge, and sometimes you make it, sometimes you don't. Did you?
No, that's white people's sororities. That's not black people's sororities.
You don't have to pledge and try to get in.
You do pledge, but you don't have. You're not bidding. You visit the which ones you think you're going to join. They have these like invitations, but you decide which one you would join, and then you go through their pledge process. Uh-huh. You do not bid on multiples. There's no once you're in like. My sorority is my sorority for the rest of my life. I'm still
sisters. I didn't know the white people's bid on multiples. I just thought you have to.
Yeah, they go through a bidding process. So you can, there's no guarantee where you are.
Oh, you mean the sororities bid on you? Like they decide who joins what?
You have to put in like where you want. You go through this whole week of festivities with all the different kinds of sororities.
And they do a draft of you?
Kind of.
Huh.
And so you can run the risk of not getting pulled into anyone, and that's happened to some people. Yeesh. You can pull the risk of getting pulled into one that you don't necessarily love, but it's an interesting process.
I don't get that whole, I've never understood that.
Well, fraternities do it too, but
that's what I mean, fraternities.
In the G9, which is the Divine Nine, which is the historically black fraternities and sororities, it's a different process, but it's very much of like, you have a lot of more autonomy in where you're going. It's no surprise where you're going to be.
Which one were you in, if you want to
say? I'm a Zeta Phi Beta. And
I don't know why I asked. I didn't mean anything to me. Yeah.
It is a lovely place to be, and I have wonderful sisters. I'm still very, one of my sorority sisters lives here. We still run life. What I remember about college are my sorority sisters, specifically my line sisters, so. It's an interesting process, but
what are your sorority colors? Did you have colors?
Royal blue and pure white.
Okay, yeah, that's all I know. That's the extent of what I know about that stuff.
Right.
I know there's colors. I know there's one that's pink and green, and they're
there's colors.
Those are the AKAs.
A secret handshake. There's a secret sound that y'all do. Like
there's a call. Yeah,
there's a call.
That's cool. There's so much.
That's cool.
Did y'all wear like robes at like midnight and like gather around again?
So it's not all, not everyone wears robes, but when you come there, for lack of better words for you all, there's a coming out kind of thing, right? There's what's called a probate, and that's where you're introduced to everyone. So most people, when you're pledging, no one knows you're pledging. Like it's not, no one can know. It is done in secret.
Really?
So
like, it'll be a secret?
Different world. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like your family and everybody? You can't tell anybody?
My mom knew because they made contact with your family when you probate. Like, but I didn't know. Like, you don't even know the day you're going to probate. Like, you're pledging as normal, and then you're like, you're told to get ready. And you are similarly dressed because the whole point is no one can really identify you in the line as you guys come out and do this whole program. And then there's a moment where you step out and unveil yourself and introduce yourself and your line name and your number.
What? That's crazy.
Do a thing. Yeah, so no, your friends don't know. Like if you disappear every night at 9 p.m you'd be like, I was just studying in the library. Like they don't know where you were. You don't know where you were. Our pickup spot to get picked up to go to where we were going was like by the tennis courts at school, and you had to hide if random people were coming because we couldn't be seen with each other.
Because
we all came from different places, so we weren't all friends. Like I was friends with my two. We chose to join together. Like we knew we wanted to pledge together.
You can do that.
Well, we met freshman year, and I knew it was. We after going to an interest meeting, I knew that's where I wanted to be, and that's where she wanted to be. So we knew each other with going through it. But
so is this before or after military for you?
Before. I was in school and I left my final year to join the military.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's cool. I just had no idea.
How do you feel about people who create sororities and fraternities like outside of the academic institution? You know what I mean? Like how to be like, yeah, let's just like a bunch of people are like, yeah, we're gonna call ourselves, and they'll give themselves some Greek letters or something, and be like, yeah, this is what we are. Like now they're building a friendship amongst their peers, but then they're calling themselves some sort of fraternity or some sort of sorority.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to hate on them, but it's not. I think the thing, especially about the D9 and most other sororities, is we are national orgs, right? We're a national organization. We are a part of a national org. And what goes into that is there are principles. Each group has their principles and their standards, and that's what you abide by. So I'm not anti. I understand wanting a sense of belonging and maybe not being comfortable with going into sororities or fraternities. I also understand that some people only know the non-Black sororities and fraternities, and if that's all you see, then yeah, you might not want to be a part of that. I'm not anti you if you decide to have some Greek, because there are fraternities and sororities that are not like, that are academic fraternities, right? There are academic sororities. There are theater sororities. There are a lot. So I'm not anti them, because to each his own. I understand wanting a sense of belonging and wanting to be a part of something. But it's a different experience than, you know, we just had our centennial a couple of years ago, and there's nothing like celebrating 100 years amongst women. Or I went into a school a couple of weeks ago, woman had a book bag on. I said, hey, Sora. She said, hey. And we automatically are friends because we now can have a conversation.
Did you do the call?
We didn't. I know. I just said, hey, Sora. We were in a school. I was in an elementary school. Listen,
I'm the type of person, like, let's say, you know, growing up, you know, you may have something how you greeted someone. And if I was to see someone and I knew they knew what I was going to say, I'd walk in the store and I'd be like, hey, I wouldn't even give a shit. You know what I'm saying? Everyone would look at me like I was crazy.
I have done. But I'd be like, what up? Since maybe at a step show when it like Zeta's performed. That's it. I'm not.
Like if I'm walking, if I and Joe happen to be in that same Walmart, I'm like, nerd. Really,
I won't
even care.
That's cool.
I don't put it past you. I don't put it past you at all.
Okay. That said, did you like this movie?
I love this movie. I love this. Oh, you talking
yeah,
to me?
Yeah, art your choice.
I love this movie. I'm happy that I chose this movie. I mean, and I guess, like I said, I mainly chose it because of the Wonder Woman aspect, but then also Luke Evans. I'm a big Luke Evans fan. So anytime I see Luke, like Gaston, come on. So anytime I see Luke Evans in anything, I kind of, I got to watch it because it's Luke Evans. So that's why I did it.
Yeah. I will say it was an interesting movie. It is definitely, to Joe's point, one you have to be in the mood for.
Yeah.
So it helps knowing what you're sitting down to watch, which is.
I like that I didn't know what I was going to get into when I started watching. I didn't.
Yeah. See, I'm very much a mood reader and a mood watcher, because you know I don't actually watch TV that much, so I have to know what I'm getting my mental energy ready for. So no, I liked it. I like the story. I like stories behind people. I like to know the why. I like to know how we got here. I do love the idea of introducing a non-traditional relationship, because they exist, and it's something we don't see on screen without over, you know, sensationalizing it. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the movies, just them living and raising their kids, and it's not crazy. They're not like having sex all the damn time everywhere. They're just living their lives as three people in whatever form this relationship is in the end of the day. So I enjoyed it. Next, though, we have two very different movies from this.
Real quick, TBJ, I have to say, speaking of you being in a mood to watch a movie, a good friend of Andy and I's just got done filming a Hallmark film coming up.
Really? You should introduce me.
He said he's one of the main characters, and the star is Mario Lopez. And our friend Brian McCartney is in it with him. And look for it the day after Thanksgiving. It's called My Grown-Up Christmas Wish.
Oh, wow. What's a
critical. Oh, I guess it's not Hallmark.
He's one of the main characters?
Yeah, he said he's in the main character. It's not Hallmark. I'm wrong. It's on the Great American Family Network. Is that similar?
Oh, I haven't watched the Great American Family. They're the people who split from Hallmark.
He said it's similar
but
to Hallmark.
It's your friend. It is, because the old CEO of Hallmark split off and started a new channel.
Okay.
I have traditionally not watched theirs because they've done a lot of things that read as Mac people, but I will watch that one for you and your friend. So
okay, so I just I tagged you in his post in a comment on where he posted about it. He's got a picture of himself. He looks like he's the guy driving the car. He looks like Santa Claus.
Okay.
But he was very excited that he said Mario Lopez is super cool. He thinks they're friends now. like yeah, we like
you and Don Cheadle.
Yeah, but not like that. Like, this is real. Like, he actually, they did hang out and stuff, whatever. So I think he's a main character.
I love it.
Yeah
so and this friend of ours, like, he like plays Santa Claus randomly around Chicago. Like,
yeah, with the symphony in Chicago. Yeah.
Symphony engagement.
Well, then I think he should be my friend.
And this guy has been on Chicago
Hope.
No, not Hope. Chicago Fire and the fire and
Chicago
the medical. Chicago Med, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chicago
and he made me cry in Chicago Med. He was dying. And it was very good.
Was this like a couple of years ago?
Yeah, a few years back, yeah.
I think I might have watched that. Because I stopped watching Chicago Med about a year or so ago. But, like, I was watching that passionately. I still watch Fire and PD, but
yeah, he was on Fire, too.
Bores me now.
So, yeah. So, Brian McCartney, check him out. He's a good friend of ours. Went to BG. Okay. And he was actually at my wedding. So there you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the two options after this.
Yeah, coming up.
They're two very different vibes.
We're watching Gojira first?
Or Wreck-It Ralph.
I'm good either way.
So on our master schedule, I have on Google Docs, I have TBJ's pick next.
Okay, Wreck It Ralph it is.
Although this is the 70th anniversary of Gojira.
Today?
I love Andy, you were like, it doesn't matter to me, although.
we'll still get to it this year. That's the
maybe.
That's the point.
You're like, oh no, we can do whatever. But here's something.
So yeah, we could wrap up the summer break with.
Well, are either one of the movies, I guess we should check, is either one of them in danger of leaving a streaming service soon? Like,
I doubt it.
I'd have to look, but
Wreck-It Ralph's on Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, should be.
And Gojira is on Tubi or something, or
I think it's on multiple streamers. Okay.
If they're multiple, then we're fine. Let's do you guys care? Let's do Wreck-It Ralph first.
Yeah, sure. Gojira.
We go from the extremely sexy and kinky to cartoon.
Well, I'm excited though, because TBJ, when you bring up these cartoon ones, I usually have seen them once, but a long time ago, and I'd never have a reason to see them again because I you just see them with my kids. And Wreck-It Ralph was just that. I took my kids to see it when they were little. And I don't know how old it is now, but I feel like it was a while ago.
Yeah, 2012.
Vanellope was the last person that I invited to my island on Disney Dreamlight.
I have no idea what the fuck that means. So 12 years
it's
ago,
the main character.
It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Just watching that glitch out, and she's, you know, also voiced as she is in a movie by Sarah K. Silverman. So pretty cool.
Wait, so
no, I do enjoy Wreck-It Ralph, and just a shout out. I do, as in general, love John C. Reilly, who is Ralph.
So yeah, if it was 2012. My kids have aged a lot since then. My son's 18 and he was like 6.
Yeah.
Is that right? Matt, Carrie, the 3?
Yeah. You wait. I just turned 4 days ago. Shoot. And that was my baby. Not even.
Yeah. I took them to that movie when they were 6 and 3. Now I'm going to watch when they're 18 and 15. So
that's time flies. I will note that I picked it because I wanted to bring in a little bit of Disney nerddom and a little bit of gaming nerddom. So
okay. good. Back to the nerddom, because this last one was just about sex nerds.
Well, it still had no creation.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were, was sex nerds.
They were sex nerds.
That's funny.
Sex nerds, that's a thing.
It was.
In like the best form of that idea, because you can be.
Are you? I'm a sex nerd.
Like, you know, actually studying sexuality as opposed to just being like a porn enthusiast.
I'm walking into Heroes Con next year saying, any sex nerds here?
No, you're not, because then we would get banned from Heroes Con.
Well, there are a lot of sex nerds. You look at the way people are dressed. There's a lot of people dressed.
Sir, that is the most old manness that you've ever said.
Why can't they just be sexy nerds?
Well, yes. Captain Penis Face and the anal beads. That's sexy.
Joe, hang up now.
As soon as you say Excelsior.
Thanks, folks, for tuning in next time. One, I'm going to record a video all by myself for Nerdy 30 since Joe and
You should do that. You should.
Just wait. And then we'll be back with Wreck-It Ralph.
And Andy should do what we're nerding out with Ben Grimm.
I do like Ben Grimm.
Well, right. TBJ, why don't you want the fans to rate, review, and subscribe?
I mean, they can. That's cool or whatever.
Thank you for listening to the Nerd School Podcast.
They say I can't rap about the president no more, but evidently they don't see we in the streets still poor. Still more incarceration of my kids by the prisons, and people thinking this election to end it racism. Proud over pessimism, glad to see Obama, but don't expect me not to speak out when I still see problems, Mr. Officer. Now they POTUS look like me, you gon' think again when seeing brothers rolling down the street. Every Martin Luther King on his American dream. Still a Rodney being beaten, screaming, fuck the police. Me, I'm running through the pasture, trying to get away from master. But the dogs is on my ass, I gotta move a little faster. Can't pass for Caucasian, but I got a couple papers from the plantation saying I graduated. Congratulations, cool beans, but to most school mean. Trying to dodge STDs, living off government cheese. Trust the government, please. Not even if it was me, sitting in the Oval Office as Commander-in-Chief. Trying to give us this free, but there's a nigga in my ear saying, you got it, Superman, you ought to keep it here. Get this distinctly clear, I'm all about jetting. Raps Kunta Kinte without the half-stepping. A new chapter, back with new lessons. After that, the final exam. Any questions?
PodcastNetwork.com. Excelsior.